Amen. No apologies for so many readings this morning, because I hope by now we are focused on the Holy Spirit. Some of us in our church, and I'm hopeful many of our church, believe that in order for our church to move forward, there needs to be a fresh anointing of the power of God. We believe that if in order for our church to go to the next level, we need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We have done the extension to the building. I believe that was something that was an absolute necessity to have, and I think we've seen the benefits and blessings of it. God has brought in new people over the last few years, and we've now got a good, real nucleus and focus, I believe, of people here this morning. And I believe that needed to happen when I first came here as well. But 6 months ago, not probably more, almost now a year ago, I felt that in order for the church to move, we needed to have an encounter of the Holy Spirit in this church. A real encounter. And our Tuesday night prayer meetings, we sometimes just sit and we just wait on the Holy Spirit. We have music playing. Sometimes we have the candles lit. Sometimes we pray out aloud. We are desperately seeking a fresh anointing of the power of God to move. Because I believe unless it comes, I think we're going to struggle to move to the level I believe God wants it to take us. I believe that God wants to use this church, not this building. You know, I've been away for a few weeks, and as we were on board, people were, you know, talking about all these lovely churches, and, you know, why is the minister, you're not excited about lovely church buildings, because church is not a building. Now, churches do look nice. And it's great. You wouldn't want to come into a shabby church, would you? You need to have a nice looking church. But if the concept of church is a building, we've missed it. Tonight we're going to have an awesome time of abundant praise. Am I not switched on? Well, there's a first. I'm going to have to start all over again, Peter. You do realise that, don't you? Oh, you've been away, mate. All right. Okay. Okay. I'm putting this on tape. For the benefit of Peter Ridewood, who has been away, many of us do really seriously believe that we need an anointing of God. And I believe not only for the church, but for your own personal life. And when I mentioned this, one lady came up to Rob while I was away and said, "That's great, and I'd love to see this encounter of the Holy Spirit happening, but perhaps Pastor should take us on a series of who exactly the Holy Spirit is." And I thought about what that person has said, because we love your suggestion boxes. And Katie comes in once a week and she opens that suggestion box, and she's delighted if she sees good suggestions in that suggestion box. And I sat and thought about that, and I said, you know, I think that's a very good point. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? One woman got saved and she was in church, in Ceres, and she was worshipping, and suddenly she shouted, "Hallelujah, hallelujah!" And the church warden came up and tapped her on the shoulder and said, "We don't do this here, madam." And she said, "Oh, you don't know, I've just been touched by the Holy Spirit." He said, "Well, you didn't get in here, mate." It's true. She said, "You didn't get in here." But I tell you, listen, I bet most of us are comfortable with the Heavenly Father. Most of you will have no problem and recognize the Heavenly Father. Most of us will have no problem with recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. But many of you struggle with the concept of the Holy Spirit. And in this series we'll be looking at, we're going to be looking who the Holy Spirit is. And that's what we'll do this morning, very briefly. We're going to look at his personality and his nature. And then we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And then we're going to look at the work of the Spirit in the, that should be, New Testament. But I obviously did that late at night. And then we're going to be looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to be looking at an important aspect of these series. And there are two main things we need to look at. One is, how do you walk in the Holy Spirit? I tell you something, it's no good knowing something and not using what you have. We need to walk every day in the Holy Spirit. And the second one is that we need to appreciate that everybody who's born again has gifts. Every one of you. The Holy Spirit has given every one of you gifts. I came in yesterday morning to do some work for my holiday, and I got in, I opened the door, and there was my blinds over my window. The last few weeks, the sun's been really coming in, and I haven't been able to focus. And Dennis Brown kindly came while I was away and put some blinds up for me. So thank you very much. And I came in yesterday morning, and it just made such a tremendous difference. You see, all Dennis did was use the giftings that God has given him. Because sometimes we look as if the giftings are something supernatural. Most giftings that God gives you are the abilities and talents in which you already have. But what he wants to do is he wants to supernaturally give and enhance that gift. And when you work in your ordinary gifting, that's good. But when you work and the power of the Holy Spirit is in that gifting, wow! That makes the difference. It makes the difference. You remember the two people were very gifted in the Old Testament, and they were great craftsmen. They could do anything they want with gold and silver and all that. But yet God said to Moses, bring them to me because I want to give them the Holy Spirit. Their giftings are good. But he said, I'll give them something that will enhance their ministry. And I believe it's Pentecostalists. We believe as Pentecostalists that the Holy Spirit is a vital part of our life. We believe the moment you say, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me for my sin, we believe the Holy Spirit enters our lives. We truly do. And we also believe that we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. But we also believe that God wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And not just for speaking in tongues, by the way. That's just one of the gifts. It's a great gift to have and seek it and desire it. But that's not the only thing the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to give you words. The Holy Spirit wants to, sometimes when you're sitting in a car or you're reading a Bible, or even as Colin Dye was telling me, the pastor at Kensington Temple, thank you. He was in the airport waiting to go to Brazil, although I don't know who would want to go to Brazil. But anyway, he was waiting in the airport, and I think it was Brazil, and God said, go over and speak to that person. He'd never seen him in his life. But he was so convicted that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him that he went over to that person in Brazil, and when he said, excuse me, I believe God would like you to, and off he went. And that man had a word for a revelation in that man's life. Would you like to be used like that by God? Would you like to be walking and pushing your Asda trolley? Or us men, what I like to do is I like to push it and then jump on it. I still do that. Avril gets very embarrassed. But I still like to do that. In fact, she stopped me shopping with her. So men, if you want not to shop, jump on trolleys as they're moving. It's a great recipe. Where was I? Oh, I was in Asda. That's right. And what I'm saying is, wouldn't you like, as you're walking in Asda, for God just to give you a word for someone? Wouldn't you like to be able to go up to someone and just pray for them? Knowing the power of God is in our lives. Tonight in abundant praise, there's going to be time where people can come and be prayed for. We believe part of praise and worship is for your needs to be met and ministered to. And we believe that in order for this to happen, we need the Holy Spirit. You see, I'm not going to mention them, but there are some churches, there are some organizations and theologies that say the Holy Spirit is a force. He's not a force. That's Star Wars. And as much as I love Star Wars, don't we, Kevin? Mind, you have to live in a detached house so you can put the volume up full loud, so you get the appreciation of the surround sound. All they say on Star Wars is, feel the force. Friend, the Holy Spirit is not a force to feel. But there are lots of organizations who believe the Holy Spirit is a force. And so I want to point to you two important verses that I believe changes the whole of that concept. Matthew 28:19, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, making them by baptizing them in the threefold name, Father, Son, and... There's a baptism next week. Way! I'm excited about that. If you haven't been baptized, and I know you haven't been baptized, there's still time, Katie, isn't there? And Katie's got some books for you this morning. So it'll be great to have a great day of baptism next week. What I'm saying is, we're saying Father, we can believe in, we're saying Son, but Jesus said Holy Spirit too. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. The intimate friendship. This person is not a force. He's someone who wants to be intimately having intimacy and friendship with you. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. By the way, pneumatology just means a working of the Holy Spirit. It just means that it's a study of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing more than that. Some people call it pneumatology. Some people call it the working of the Holy Spirit. He's not a force. I want to give you another verse. And it's a verse that was read this morning. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. One of the greatest events in history was AD 49 to AD 51. What happened was the Apostle Paul was going around preaching. And people were being saved. Now these people who were being saved were Gentiles. Like my good friend Junior there. And what they were saying to Junior, although I wouldn't, he's too big. But what they were saying to Junior is, now, I didn't say you, Julie, mind you. What they were saying was, now that you've become saved, we need to circumcise you. And Paul was saying, not on your life. And I was shouting in my mother's womb, hallelujah. Because what they were saying was, even though you've come to salvation through grace, not through the law, you still have to be circumcised and you've still got to eat Jewish food. And the Apostle Paul was saying, no, no, no. Now this became extremely important. Because what happened was, it looked as if the church was going to be wrenched apart. This was a huge problem. And so the Apostle Peter and James and John, they got Paul and Barnabas to come to Jerusalem, and in AD 49 to AD 51, they had a debate about it. It's called the Jewish Council, or the Jerusalem Council. You can read it in Acts chapter 15. And what happened at the end of that debate is the Holy Spirit spoke into the life of Peter, James and John, and they made a decision. And this is what it said. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You see, James, who was the chief elder of Jerusalem, didn't say it seemed good to me, or Peter didn't say it seemed good to me, and the apostles didn't say it seemed good to us. No, they didn't have the consensus of a majority vote. There was no vote. Peter just stood up and gave it. He was saying, listen, we are consciously being believed. I mean, a divine person has been leading us to make a decision, and that divine person was the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, that was the most major thing that happened. Because what happened was, they then wrote letters, which they gave to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul took those letters to every Gentile Christian and said, you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to eat kosher food, all you need is God's grace in your life. And I tell you, it was a major point. And those of you who are going to do the Bible study, there's already your first assignment. Because your first assignment will be, what was one of the major turning points? What was one of the major turning points? And it was that the Holy Spirit spoke and set us free from the law of circumcision and kosher food. You see, it clearly indicates that the disciples had a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. There is a relationship that is not a force. And it's very important to understand that this Holy Spirit, and there it is. In the Greek, the word spirit, pneuma, it's a neuter word. It's not a masculine or feminine. The only reason we say it is to help us. You see, God the Father, and we say Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it helps us to recognize, but an actual fact, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. But to help us recognize it, we describe it as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's associated with breath and wind. And the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and right through to Revelation 22. And we're going to be looking through from Genesis to Revelations. And we won't be reading every chapter. But we will, as we've read today, read many verses where the Holy Spirit is powerful both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And there's different words which the Spirit has been used. You see, some people have been confused because when you read the King James Version, you get Holy Ghost. And sometimes that can be a bit of confusion. And the connotations that some people have when they mention the word ghost frightens them. No, it does, it frightens them. And it's because we're not using the correct word. The Holy Spirit is not some ghost with shackles on wandering through people's houses and stuff like that. Trust me, it's not. But because King James used that word, but the word ghost originally meant spirit. It comes from the Anglo-Saxon or German. The Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are used in the Bible as exactly the same thing. If you read Holy Ghost, it's her Holy Spirit, and vice versa. And the Bible shows us that the Holy Spirit has the qualities of a person. You see, the Holy Spirit has knowledge, it has feeling, it has a will. Now, I don't know about you, but a force doesn't. But the Holy Spirit does. And let's just go down then. So I want you to get in mind, all of these power slides are available. They're also available in notes. Because you need to have an understanding of who we are talking about. In order for us to move as a church, we've got to understand who this Holy Spirit is. He's got a mind. He knows what will make this church great. He knows. He has a mind. He has a will. I could be leading you in a wrong direction. If I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit, I can lead you in a wrong direction. Because the Apostle Paul tried to go into certain areas and the Holy Spirit said no. Now read it. And then one night he got a call from Macedonia. And he went. But up to that moment, Paul tried to go into different places at different times and the Holy Spirit said to him, no. A man called Agabus said to Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll be arrested and you'll be sent to Rome. Please, don't go. And the Apostle Paul said, thank you for that, but I'm still going. And Agabus said, I'm telling you, if you go to Rome, the Spirit of God has told me you'll be arrested. But the Spirit of God had also said to Paul, I want you to go. Now, Paul could have easily have said, thank you, I'm not going. But that would have been outside the will of God. The Holy Spirit can be affectionate. The Holy Spirit forbids. The Holy Spirit intercedes. The work of the Holy Spirit speaks. It sends, it scribes. There are verses up to you. And said, those who are doing the Bible college, you'll be filling those verses in. We are dealing with a person this morning. But how do you treat the Holy Spirit? I'm serious. He is a person. He's not a force. The most thing we need to understand this morning is that this Holy Spirit we believe is a person, and how are we treating him as a person? How are we treating the Holy Spirit? He speaks, he sends, he strives. Each member of the Trinity, though in perfect unity with each other, has its own distinct person and work. You need to read Genesis 3, Exodus 31, Joel 32, Judges 6, Isaiah. Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. This person knows all things. This Holy Spirit is everywhere right now. The Holy Spirit is right now in Jamaica as he is here. That's not a force. That is a person with a personality. He has a personality. He's got a will. He's got a mind. He's got intellect. He's all powerful. We read the Luke 1:35. And I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is eternal. A lot of people think this Holy Spirit is going to be doing. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is never be done away. The Holy Spirit, what is going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from this earth And then all will be let loose. The Bible tells you, read 2 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of this planet. Praise God, you and I will go with him. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's a chart you'll be filling in, those of you who are doing the course. You see, not only is he a person, but he's got attributes. He's eternal, omnipotent, present. As I've said, he's got a will, he loves, he speaks. We say about the Holy Spirit, he's a dove. He's a wind, he's a fire, he's oil, he's clothing, he's seals. Do you know you can sin against the Holy Spirit? And that's why I'm asking you. How are you respecting the Holy Spirit this morning? Someone, some of you might just need to sit back and think that if this Holy Spirit's a real person, how am I treating him? Because if God is speaking into your life, he's speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. And if you ignore what God is speaking to you, then you are ignoring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Because why? Because he's a person. I could insult you, Mary. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. When someone says to you, are you all right? The first thing you say to someone is, I'm feeling great. When inside you're falling apart. You're actually lying, by the way. Lied to. The Holy Spirit can fill you with power. The Holy Spirit can help you witness about Jesus. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus up from the dead. That's not a force. That's a person with a personality. And I wonder how many times we've injured him. I wonder seriously how many times we've hurt him. You see, we'll automatically think, oh, I've heard Jesus today, and da da da. In actual fact, Jesus Christ is in heaven. And I'm not being funny, but Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And he hasn't been there on this earth for 2,000 years. Jesus said, if I don't go up to heaven, I can't send the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives now, people. It is not Jesus in the sense that he's not physically on this earth. We pray to Jesus, and we ask Jesus, who then intercedes to us, to the Father on our behalf. That's called a paracletos. We know that because the Bible says that Jesus intercedes for us, but he intercedes from us from a place in heaven. And the Father, having taken the prayer request that he gets from Jesus, and it's the Father who is the giver of good gifts. So when you get a prayer answered, it's the Father who has answered that prayer. And when the Father answers that prayer, James chapter 1, he says to the Holy Spirit, I want you to manifest the request that I've actually given. And so if the Father says, yes, I want them to have this, the Holy Spirit will manifest it. Because it's the Holy Spirit who is on earth. The Son is in heaven. And right now when he sees your tears, Jesus right now is interceding to the Father for you. And he's actually asking. And that's the great thing. You see, the Bible says this. When you and I don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit that's living in that heart, my love, knows exactly the pain you're going through. And he goes to Jesus and says, she's having real pain and difficulty over this. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to intercede to the Father. And he goes and he says to the Father, she doesn't know how to pray because she's in so much pain. But Father, this is what she needs. And Father says, I know. I'll tell you what. I'm going to answer that prayer request. And in order to do that, I'm just going to tell the Holy Spirit right now to bring peace into her life. It's a threefold system that works. But we need to understand this. There are three people with three different functions, but one. And the concept might be difficult. But they all have their part to play in your life. Let's be sure as we finish now that we are not resisting him, insulting him, even lying to him. And don't say you can't, because Ananias did in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And then his wife followed him on. And all Peter said was, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. He didn't say he lied to Peter, did he? He said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And he dropped down dead. Now thank goodness God doesn't do that nowadays. Okay, let's do the next one. I think we need to really cut through this now. The Greek has two words for another. When Jesus says, I'm going to send you another one, this is what he meant. There's two Greek words. One means of a different kind. And the second word, allos, means another of the same kind. And the Greek word that Jesus was using was the word allos. Jesus was saying, I'm going to send somebody of the same kind as me. So I know the Holy Spirit is a person. I know he's a personality because we've talked about how you can hurt him and about his will and all. But we also know that the Holy Spirit is an exact replica of Jesus Christ. Now we've no problem with Jesus. So we should have no problem with the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you another allos, which means another of the same kind. And that to me is encouraging. Because if I can't understand the Holy Spirit, which sometimes I can't, I generally find I can understand Jesus, and then I think, well, if that's what Jesus is, the Holy Spirit must be like that too. So, let's conclude as we go home. The Holy Spirit is one of three persons of the God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For many of us, this is a difficult concept to grasp. The Bible declares that there is only one living God, yet we learn from Scripture that He comprises three separate personages. One way to look at it is this. I think it's a lovely way of putting it. You see, the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. But the Father is God. The Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. Is that pretty much clear? I did have my thing that Kevin gave me this, but he gave me a dud. He gave me a dud. I know that. So, Tom, I can't beam me up like Scotty. At work, Katie, didn't it this morning? It did work this morning, and I think some of you need to pray to the Holy Spirit this morning and see if we can get this. No, we rubbish. Not the sermon. That was superb. But what we can say, the Father is God. The Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Father, we've looked just quite simply this morning on our first step of our journey. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has a personality. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And I pray this week we will spend some time searching who you are, Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd give us revelation this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you will empower our lives this morning so that this week will be totally different to any week we've had. We'll hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. As we read your word, we'll suddenly have words we've never seen before. I pray as we go out, suddenly the Spirit will convict us to, Father, do something, or witness, or Father, share, or whatever, Father. I pray at the end of each day we'll be able to glorify you, Father, by thanking you that the Holy Spirit has moved in our lives that day. Father, as we look at the Holy Spirit in two more sessions, Father, we want the Holy Spirit to move in this church. I will hope tonight in abundant praise that we will lift the roof off, not by our singing, but by the power of God. Father, I want to pray that every single person in this church this week has an encounter with the Holy Spirit as an individual. And that come back next week saying, wow, this is a real person with a real personality, with a real power, who's part of the Godhead. For this we give you thanks, Holy Spirit. And we rely upon you to help us to walk in the way that God would want us to walk. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. You see, that might be simple to you, but do you know what? All you've done is you've acted in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit can use you because you're acting in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's give God a clap for that testimony. Because it's 12 o'clock, but at the end of the day, that's what I want, Shirley. At the end of the day, Shirley, what we want is some people who have genuinely been moved by the Holy Spirit in this series to come and stand and give a testimony. So if the Holy Spirit does something remarkable this week in your life that you know, wow, you know, that's ever happened before. I would like you we can't have the baptism service next week. The week after that, I'd like you to come and share that. You don't just want preaching, because preaching is good as it is. I much prefer that the Spirit has moved in your life and you give a testimony, because you can't argue with testimony. You can never argue with someone's life who's been changed. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, even if it shows you a verse of Scripture that you've never seen before, come and share, please. Thank you, Shirley, for standing up and sharing. That's what we want. The Holy Spirit to be so exciting for us that we know that we are living under the dynamic power within us.